sometimes to smell like.
I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
Anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone. So, Madeline, how you been this week? Anything going on with you health-wise?
Nothing is going on with me health-wise, but I would say my concern that I've been thinking about a lot is I'm afraid my teeth are getting shorter.
What do you mean? Like that you're grinding them down?
Yes, that I'm grinding them down. I recently started going to a new dentist about a year and a half ago, which was big because I had not been to the dentist in Los Angeles at all.
Yeah.
It had been 6 years and I hadn't been to the dentist. And I found a dentist by recommendation called Personal Dental Office, which feels like a fake dentist office.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's not. It's a real dentist office with real people and is called Personal Dental Office despite having the most impersonal name. And I think the bad thing about Personal Dental Office is they're very good dentists. I've been very happy with their work. But they share a space and a practice with an orthodontist and with like sort of everything in the teeth department.
Right.
So every time you go there, they always will give you unsolicited advice about like how your teeth look.
Right.
Thinking that you'll go and like get Invisalign or like get them whitened. And so my dentist, the first time I saw him, I really liked it because he wasn't very alarmist. He was like, you know, like I've always had a thing. I have a thing with my jaw where it pops. And I've always been very concerned about it. Like my orthodontist growing up was like, you shouldn't chew gum. You're going to screw up your jaw. But I love chewing gum, so I never stopped. And so I was really worried that this was like a bad thing. And the first thing he did was tell me that this is like actually not a big deal. And he like showed me like a picture of what was going on inside my mouth. And, basically was like, this is just like a thing that a lot of people have because we've evolved to have it. It's like, it's no bigs. Don't worry about it. Some people will break their jaws and have surgery to fix this. Don't do that. This is not a problem.
Right.
So I was like really on his side. And then he started asking me about having a night guard, you know, because I was concerned because I know I grind my teeth. And he was like, yeah, you might want to look into having. No, here's what he said. Okay. Last time I was with him, I was like, hey, I'm thinking I should, I don't know, should I get like a night guard or something? Because I'm worried that I'm grinding my teeth. And he said, no, you don't need a night guard. I mean, honestly, grinding your teeth is okay. Some studies have shown, you know, cavemen grinded their teeth. That's how they cleaned their teeth. You know,
your dentist is terrible.
So medically it's fine, but just cosmetically, you know, some people, I mean, he said cosmetically, some people would look at your teeth and say, like, you need veneers, but your teeth work fine. So he negged me, basically.
Right.
He, like, slid in a dig that that my teeth are so little and stumpy that some people would want to spend $10,000 to get pretend teeth put over my teeth.
Oh, right, right. Oh, gotcha.
But he was like, I mean, it's fine. I mean, you know, cosmetically, yeah, sure. Some people might want to put veneers over those teeth. And then I was like, what? And he was like, I mean, it's fine. He's like, honestly. And then I asked, well, I guess maybe I'll come back, you know, for my next visit. And you'll see maybe if there's been any visible, you know, wear on my teeth. He's like, oh, no, you wouldn't know next visit. It's more the kind of thing where in a couple years you'll look at pictures of what your teeth used to look like and you'll realize your teeth got really short. And so I immediately began obsessively looking at old pictures of myself to try to see if my teeth have been longer in the past. Like, you know how, like, I used to do that a lot, like, when I was, like had, like, a very unhealthy body image. I feel like I would obsessively look at pictures to be like, am I fatter in my neck or my shoulder? Like, does my body look different? When did I look my best? How can I make myself feel small?
Right.
And now I'm doing that same exact thing, but with my teeth. I'll like look at pictures of myself and I'll zoom in to my teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
And go like, ooh, do I look like I have stumpy little meth teeth?
Right, yeah, which you don't.
And but the more I look at it, the more I feel like I have stumpy little meth teeth.
Yeah, but you don't.
But I, but like, But I do, because my two front teeth are the same length, and that's like your two front teeth are beautiful.
But these aren't even real.
Wait, exactly. I see. Maybe I need those because your two front teeth are beautiful because they both curve. They both look like individual teeth. My two front teeth are ground to the point where they're together. They look like one big tooth with a line in the middle.
Okay, let's.
They look like a badly drawn tooth.
I'm going to stop you because that is not grinding your teeth.
It is.
It's not. The grinding your teeth, you could crack your teeth that way, but the grinding your teeth is just going to be in those back teeth.
That's well, my where dentist that's told me it was my front.
I know, but I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you this, and no one will agree with me, but I feel it. I routinely teach my dentist new things because I'm that obsessed with teeth. Because for one, I had two of mine knocked out with a baseball helmet. And two, I went through the same situation that you did where like I didn't go to the dentist for the entire time that I lived in Los Angeles and got like so terrified of what they were going to say to me when I got there that I just put it off. And then when I finally went, it took four dentist appointments to finish the practice. And so from that point on, I went and looked up everything that I could find in terms of like off the wall dental practices.
Yeah.
The reason that your jaw pops in the back is from grinding your teeth.
Yeah.
Because I do own a night guard and I took a week off from using it and the exact same thing happened to me.
Yeah.
My jaw dislocated.
Yeah.
And then I went back to my night guard. It's never happened again.
Wow.
But I also have seen a decent number of people with meth teeth and they look so different than you.
I think I'm on my way to have, like, my big hope is that like I'll make enough money that by 5 years from now, I can just buy new teeth. Because I think in 5 years, I'll have little baby meth teeth.
You know, but I think you're being proactive about it now.
Yeah.
But it's possible, I guess. But the most likely scenario for you to end up with little tiny meth teeth would be to develop a meth addiction.
But another thing that puts me in my head about my teeth is like a couple years ago, my mom saw a picture of me and she was like, are you doing something different when you smile?
Yeah.
I don't know. All of a sudden, I feel like all I can see are your gums. And I'm sure she doesn't even remember saying that. She didn't, like, say it to be mean.
Right.
It was just, like, a passing observation. And now I've also been, like, scrolling back through pictures. And I was like, maybe you can all see my gums now because I have baby teeth. And maybe that's why my smile now is all gums.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue that it couldn't be the case. But I do think that it's not the case.
Okay.
I think your teeth look great.
Thank you.
Two, I think that going back to the dentist after a long period away, that the best way they can get you to keep coming back is to tell you that you have little tiny meth teeth.
I'm really worried about it.
And that moms just say things about our appearance.
Yeah.
Because they're getting old.
Yeah.
It's on her. Look, if she's got a problem with her own gums, don't take it out
on
Madeline.
No, but my mom has beautiful teeth.
So do you.
I don't know. I just want my teeth to all be round, like individual teeth. I've started looking at people's teeth so much, and I'm really envious of people's, like, sort of, like, beautiful mouth full of individual teeth. I feel like my mouth looks like a cartoon man's mouth.
I'm not gonna be able to talk you out of this. I can see, but I think you have a cartoon lady's mouth. Let's look at Alexis's teeth and see.
Alexis, you have great teeth. Your teeth are all individual teeth.
All yours are individual teeth, Madeline.
But I don't know. I feel like people's teeth look good with their like faces, and I just don't. I always thought I had good teeth.
Yeah.
Also, like my teeth were like one of the things that people would like compliment me on, and I like they were the one thing I thought I'd probably never feel insecure about.
Yeah.
And now I feel insecure about my teeth.
Well, we'll throw a couple of pictures of our teeth up on the
website,
people.
Yeah, we really should. Yeah, let's do it.
Hashtag us if you.
Just hashtag us. Just hashtag us if you like our teeth.
Yeah.
Hashtag us if you like our teeth. Just throw a hashtag like your teeth.
Give us a like your teeth if you like our teeth.
Yeah.
Give us a little baby meth teeth if you think we got a problem.
Yeah. Please. Hashtag little baby meth teeth. And if you feel you have little baby meth teeth, I don't know, post a picture. Yeah. Hashtag little baby meth teeth. And
so.
We can all just feel better about this by realizing we're not alone.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what this podcast is all about. Let's go through this together,
yeah,
people.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's start the show.
We're very excited to bring to the studio Joe Saunders, our friend. He's a great writer. You know him from Comedy Bang Bang. He was a writer on this year's Emmys. He wrote the tremendously funny UCB digital sketch Faces.
Mm-hmm.
Faces, why do we hate them?
Faces, why do we hate them? But in my opinion, he's got a beautiful face, and we're happy to have him. Joe, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
We are very excited to have you as well.
We're very excited.
Yeah, we think you're going to have some good stories. So. Ooh. We like to kick things off with like just a very simple question to kind of get the ball rolling.
Sure.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you fear death?
This is I don't fear death that much.
Really?
I think I fear death probably about a, if 10 is what is 10 the most you fear death and 1 is the least, I'm probably like a 5.
Okay, so you're right on the middle.
Yeah. Death doesn't seem that bad to me. but I have a lot of friends that do think about death a lot.
I think
that's probably a thing where you're around a lot of comedians or a lot of writers or that sort of thing. Then
we're doing the least risky jobs possible.
Yeah, right,
we
right,
think
yeah.
about death all the time.
Yeah.
Like, do you think firefighters are like, oh, all my friends are thinking about dying all the time?
I don't know, that's a good question.
That's right. No, clearly firefighters are thinking about the second beat of their improv scenes. So would you say as you've gotten older that 5 was once a lower number, or was it at some point higher? What were you like as a kid?
You know, I think it's probably about the same. I think the things I worry about more are like like being like poor and destitute being alone.
Oh, gotcha.
Or being in prison or something right. And not so much dying.
Are you very worried about being in prison?
Yeah. I don't know. You never know.
It's right, yeah.
You never know.
That seems very interesting.
Wait,
that,
spell out a scenario for me where you would accidentally land yourself in prison.
Yeah. Oh, like a reverse OJ situation.
Okay. Like OJ kills you and your male lover.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
All right. Right. Yeah. No. You've been falsely accused, and they throw you in jail.
Falsely accused.
So basically a fugitive situation. Like you're afraid of the fugitive.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
But I don't know. I guess it could happen anyway.
Right.
Maybe I actually do commit a crime, and I'm, you know, rightly imprisoned.
Yeah.
So you're more fearful of a miserable life than dying. That makes sense to me.
Yeah,
I would
right.
say I agree with that.
Right.
But Ben, you are more afraid of straight up dying, right?
Oh yeah, no, much more. I mean, I live a miserable life, so I can tell you that it's very bearable. On the other hand, it's not even just dying; it's dying in a way that would anger me. Meaning, like I remember one time I decided I was out sort of scaling a cliff with a friend of mine for no good reason, and
you were scaling a cliff.
You said that like it was a normal thing for a human to do.
Have you met me?
Yes,
I live by the seat of my pants, baby. Yeah, so we went to a place in California called Montaña de Oro, which is Spanish for the Mountain of Gold.
Okay.
And it's called that because the hillside is completely covered in these beautiful golden flowers. Not an interesting detail. I mean, at least not in a podcast about sickness and death. In a flower podcast, you'd be eating this stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so you had the opportunity while you were out on this cliff to sort of sojourn out past the edge. Like they had signs that said don't do this, but there was nothing that actually precluded you from doing it. And so I did it. And so I got to this part and I was like, I wonder if I would be able to raise myself up on this cliff and make it back up to the top part. And so I started to and realized that underneath me was very thin, fast-moving sand. And so I started to slide off of the side. And if I would have fallen off of this cliff, I would have landed on some coral reef about 20 feet below during high tide, and I would have drowned and died. And so I just instinct set in, and I just plopped down on my butt, and I scooted myself back up to like a firmer sandy ground, and I saved myself. And I was happy, obviously, to have saved myself. But my big takeaway was how angry I would have been falling off this cliff, doing something I had no business doing. Like, I would rather drop dead doing this podcast, a place where I'm supposed to be right now,
yeah,
doing the thing that I'm supposed to do, living my life, than dying by just attempting to be more heroic and brave and I should have been humble to the fact, yeah, that I'm a dumb, incapable loser. And
I just want to point out, I mean, not to like steal your thunder, but there's not much heroic about just ignoring a safety sign.
Yeah,
it wasn't like someone was like, "Save me up here." You were just like, "Maybe I could do this. I'm a hero."
So to be clear, you're not trying to steal my heroism by saying this?
Oh, wait, no. I meant to say, just to steal your heroism, that's not heroic.
No, but what is heroic is saving your own life, right? Isn't it? I mean,
yes,
I was supposed to die.
You did the heroic thing by not being, like, overly proud.
Yeah.
And dying and making a bunch of people really sad.
Yeah.
So you are a hero.
I'm a hero. And you know what my... my heroic friend Telly did, the guy who was there with me, mm-hmm, on the cliff when I screamed out for him to help me?
What?
Absolutely nothing.
You're
because
kidding.
He's even less of a hero than I am.
Ugh.
Anyway, Joe.
Telly.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't sound that bad.
Wow.
Have you ever had a near-death experience, yeah, or anything that like felt like it was headed toward a near-death experience?
Yeah, I was stabbed in college.
What?
What?
Yeah, you don't know,
Oh, wait, I remember parts of this, yeah, story, but not all of it,
right,
so please tell it.
No, I remember the part where Madeline stabbed you, but
it's
I didn't hear it from your
improv
perspective.
Improv monologue.
Oh, hit us.
I was out at a bar one night with my girlfriend at the time, and we were walking back, and we walked through the parking lot of the Panera Bread in Chapel Hill.
The Panera. That's such a nice parking lot.
Yeah, you'd think so.
You would think so.
And a truck pulled up, and a man asked me for directions in the truck, and I gave him directions. And I'd been drinking a lot, so I was really drunk. I gave him directions to the interstate. He pulled out of the parking lot, pulled back into the parking lot, got out of the car, and like walked up to me and like punched me in the neck.
With a knife?
Well.
Oh, okay.
Let's not get ahead.
You're right. My bad. I'm just so excited for the part where you get stabbed.
He like punched me and I thought he was mugging me. And so I got really scared.
Yeah.
And then he kind of got like this alarmed look on his face and jumped back in his car and like took off. And my girlfriend as soon as he like hit me, my girlfriend started like yelling at him. She was like, "Fuck you, get out of here." And I was scared and she was brave. And
yeah,
he drove off and she was like, "Fuck that guy, I can't believe that happened." And I looked down and I had like blood pouring down my shirt.
Wow.
Oh,
he had stabbed me in the neck.
In the neck?
Yeah.
What?
And I was like, And so they had to get an ambulance. And luckily it wasn't. It was like the shallowest kind of stab that could happen. It was like the least harmful stab.
What is it? Do you have a scar?
No, it was right here though. It was like right below my Adam's apple, and I did. Like they called the police, and like I had to go in the ambulance. And I spent the night in the hospital. I had to wear a big bandage. But that was very scary.
Yeah, that sounds
the
most scary.
Did you think you were gonna die?
I did. Yeah.
How long? Like, describe your thought process and how long you thought this might be it.
Yeah. From when he's stabbing you. Like, do you think that you're about to die when you're being stabbed?
No, I didn't know I'd been stabbed at first until he drove off and I looked down and it was like a movie. It was like just like dramatic, like just blood staining my shirt slowly out because it was like kind of pouring out.
Oh.
And then like, so like I held my shirt up as we waited for the ambulance and I was like sitting on the curb and waiting for the ambulance to come with my girlfriend. I thought, I was like, oh, this could be, I could die.
Yeah.
Maybe I might just bleed to death and die right now.
Did you say anything? Did you, like, were you like, I got 5 minutes, like, this is what I got to do?
Yeah.
I was like, I hope they just make some more Star Wars movies. And, no. No, I don't. I think I was, like, in shock or something, or I just, like, couldn't even process it.
Yeah.
It was very strange. It was such a strange, weird thing to happen.
Yeah.
Because in the movies, I feel like I just finished an acting class, and like it was like part of the acting class was like the teacher like gave us a bunch of different categories of scenes. It's like an audition
right.
class, and there were like you know, different pieces of advice for different types of scene. And for a death scene, his only piece of advice was die slow. Oh. Which I guess makes sense for, like, an audition, because you can't just, like, die immediately and then be like, I showed you nothing. Goodbye. But, like, it made me think, I feel like maybe a lot of us haven't seen that many real deaths.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we've only seen deaths in movies, and they're very usually long, and people have a chance to say a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if that is probably not at all. I've only seen someone die once, and it was like my grandmother was very peaceful. She was in hospice, and it was also very quick, you know, and nothing was, you know, said. It was like a sentimental moment, but it was quick.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Maybe you're just like, I feel like it'd be very strange to know you're dying. Like, I feel like you'd always, I don't know, I would be like, this is going to work out.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't.
But you thought it wasn't. You thought.
I mean, I think at the time I was just like quiet and like nervous. And
yeah.
There were other, as soon as like it happened, like Chapel Hill is like a busy town at night where like people were getting out of the bars. So there's like, there were event, it happened. And then like, as I was sitting there, people started to like pass by and they would stop and like, ask, like, what's going on? And
right.
So.
Well, I think that's the thing, is that like there are certain things that are going to happen to everyone in their life, and they happen the first time, and then you get very scared because it's something that's new and different. But getting stabbed in the neck for the first time, it's not really a first time. It's just you got stabbed in the neck, but you've never experienced it before. So I think naturally, we got to think, I'm probably going to die from getting stabbed in the neck. I mean, I still think you're going to die.
If it happened again, I'd be like, this is nothing.
Right. It's old hat to you.
Did it make you scared of my purse was stolen a couple years ago, and it wasn't
basketball,
you know,
court.
During a basketball practice. Yeah. I left it on a bench. It was stolen, my fault. But even after that, I found myself being worried people were gonna steal my things, like, you know, just at the gas station or anywhere. Like, do you find yourself residually worried that you're gonna be stabbed out in the world now that that's happened?
Are you terrified of Panera Bread?
I am terrified of Panera Bread, and I refuse to go there.
Is that true?
No.
Because I love Panera.
It's great.
It's great.
I told that to like Fran Gillespie, who likes Panera Bread a lot.
And I love
she got really upset about someone saying something bad about Panera.
I always get upset about it. I always want to go to Panera, and nobody ever wants to. To me, it's the perfect meal, but I digress.
No, I don't. It actually doesn't. I like don't think about it. It doesn't, I don't know, it didn't really change how I act or risks I take or walking through dark parking lots at night probably when I shouldn't be.
I feel like that's a pretty human thing, right? To like have a traumatic experience and then eventually like be able to sort of operate as though that's still not a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think that just realizing that something won't kill you often takes a part of the stigma away from it. That we're all terrified I feel like for years and years around UCB, there was, you know, like a walk with a partner because there are people that'll run out and stab you or.
That's still real.
It's very real. And then you experience things in life and they are very traumatizing. But you do get over it, and I think what we come to realize is, much like with breakups, that we're going to get over most things to some extent, and that like the fear of it is often greater than the experience of it. Now, getting stabbed in the neck, I can't speak to that one. It sounds like that was a horrible experience. And there's no way to be afraid of getting stabbed in the neck without just being a crazy person, right?
Right. I think it was also fortunate that like it didn't hurt, and like it happened so quick, and I'd been drinking a lot, and so it wasn't like painful,
right?
And I think if it had been painful, that might be a different memory, or I might have other kind of, it's kind of just like an experience of anything.
Yeah. Did it start to hurt later?
No, it was always, I think it like ached a little,
but
it was never bad. It was really like if you want to get stabbed in the neck, it was like the stabbing to get.
It was like very surface, like you weren't stabbed in the throat, like
it didn't puncture my throat.
Okay, good, good.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
So you're not terribly afraid of sickness and death when it comes to yourself, but do you find yourself scared of people who are sick and injured? Like, as a child, were you, if there was, like, a sick kid or somebody who, like, I remember as a kid, there was a boy in my class who blew off three of his fingers with a firework, and I wouldn't go to his birthday party.
Oh, no.
I'm not afraid to admit I was a bad person, and
it's
I grew
scary.
Up to be a bad adult.
It
but
when
it was
you're
very
a kid,
scary,
it's
yeah.
really scary.
It was, yeah. yeah, and it was upsetting to me, yeah. and it made me not want to play with fireworks, which made me not want to play with him, and, no, I mean, no joke involved. Like, I feel bad for the kid that I skipped his birthday party. But I was justified. I mean, he had a very terrifying hand. What about you?
I've always been okay with sick people. I don't know. I'm not someone who reacts super strongly. I feel like there's even people that get like nervous around people with colds or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have a lot of.
Me. I don't have a. Yeah. It's not a
germs are not a problem for you.
Germs are not a problem. I love germs. Getting, yeah.
Ooh, he's a real germ head.
I'm a real germ guy.
Have you ever? So your stabbing is like a pretty traumatic injury. Have you ever been super sick?
No.
What's the sickest you've ever been?
Probably just like a bad flu or something. I did have kind of like a medical scare. Like last year?
Love it.
Is this the kind of thing to talk about?
Yeah, this is the only thing to talk about.
This is very, this gets kind of gross.
Oh, even better.
Okay.
Even better.
Madeline's probably going to make a lot of noises when you talk, but that'll be a good sign.
But I like it.
And I'll be like, ooh.
This is good. So I discovered some blood in my stool last year.
All the time, baby.
A
right here all the time.
Scary.
Yeah. I'll talk about it too.
Yeah.
It was very scary. And I went to, it lasted like for a day. Like
so multiple bloody stools.
Multiple.
Like really red.
Not super, like a little red, but like consistent red.
Hmm.
And it was like over the course of like 24 hours. And I went to the doctor. And the doctor was like, I don't know, this could be. The doctor did like an exam. Uh-huh. And he was like, you know, I don't see anything wrong, but you should go see a proctologist and really get that, you know, checked out. And the proctologist, I then went and saw him. He's like, you know, it could be anything, but you're kind of like just old enough that like we should do a thing called a sigmoidoscopy, which is basically kind of like a colonoscopy.
Uh-huh.
And like, yeah, it was like if I was 2 years younger, they wouldn't have. He was like, it would have been nothing. And he would have. So I had to go one day, and I went before work, and they did the thing where they took a camera on a tube and put it up my butt.
Up your butt, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was, like, lying on my side, like, looking at a screen of, like, the camera going through my rectum.
Like an ultrasound, but instead of looking at a womb full of life, you're just looking inside your asshole.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And like a high definition image of it.
Why do they think you want to see that?
I don't know. Well, another
you did, though, right?
Yeah. a thing was like they can knock you out for it. You can be be unconscious.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go to work afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't because I was it was the kind of thing I was like, oh, if I take a whole day off to do this, like. That makes it worse or something.
Yeah,
I was,
it's nervous. Like you're like giving it more power by being like, this is worthy of a day off of work.
Yeah.
I understand that.
And the doctor, when I went, was like, he asked me if I wanted to be put under, and he was like, if it was me, I wouldn't get put under. He's like, it'll be uncomfortable, but you'll be okay. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. But then I got to the proctologist's office, and immediately when I first signed the forms, the nurse was like, okay, here's the anesthesia form.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think I'm getting anesthesia. And she was like, oh, okay. And then I go into the office and they give me the form again. And I was like, I already talked to the doctor about this. I'm not doing it. Is it okay that I'm not doing it? Should I get it? And they were like, oh, no, it's fine.
Oh.
And then they put me on like the bed or whatever and they wheel me into the room and there's the doctor and he goes, oh, you're awake.
what?
And I was like, yeah, we talked about this, that I'm not going to be put under. And he goes, okay, that's fine.
The long pause and then, okay, that's fine. Is more alarming than if someone was like, please be put under. This is terrible.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was like, we could put me under if we need to. I'm ready to do that. But they were like, no, it's fine. What? And so then I was awake and like felt it. And
did it hurt or just feel like weird?
It hurt a little. It felt like very strange. It felt just like. The doctor described it as pressure, and it just felt like an intense pressure, like on my lower body,
right.
Like someone's putting a poop inside your butt.
Yeah, I also
it's like the wrong end of a poop.
That's exactly what it is. And I also thought it was going to be, I thought it was going to be a fairly shallow kind of thing, but it's like multiple feet.
Ah, what?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
insane. No.
Like, I got there, and then I'd have to look up how much it was, but it was...
They're huge.
It's huge, and it goes on and on, and the amount of space it travels in your body is insane, and you're, like, watching it on a screen. It's, like, taking turns and stuff.
Are you seeing your, like, intestines on the screen?
Yes, you're seeing just, like, pink, like, inside of you.
It's in color?
Yeah.
With my dysphagia, I had just the same camera. Probably literally the same camera. Hopefully they cleaned it at least.
I thought
it went in my mouth down into my stomach. Yours went in through your butt.
Yeah.
Like we could have met in the middle and kissed.
Yeah.
They use the other end on you.
Yeah, just a double ended scopy. That's what they call it, a scopy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Was there, this is like a not really a pertinent question, but was there poop in your intestines?
Yes.
Yeah, there's lots. There's tons.
Wormed its way.
You see it, and it's going by. It's insane. It's like brown liquid is, and it's like you've already gone. You're not supposed to be like pooped up. Yeah. Doctor's unwinding it, and he's like going. Looks good so far. And he was like, you know, maybe I told him what I do. I wrote it on a TV show, and he was like, oh, maybe you could use this on your TV show.
did he even ask what TV show you wrote for?
He did, but he had no idea what it was.
He was like,
just random.
Maybe you should have a TV show about doctors.
Yeah.
Here's an idea.
He did also have, like, funny things that were clearly, like, he knows that, like, he has to, like, keep talking the whole time. Because he asked me I was from Atlanta, and he started talking about the Atlanta airport and started talking about a history exhibit in the Atlanta airport as, like, you know, this is going on and I'm... You know, just watching the screen and.
Oh my!
I can't believe how much small talk you had with this man while he was cramming a thing up your butt to look at the poop in your stomach.
Yeah.
Like he found out your job. He found out you were from Atlanta. He shared an anecdote about Atlanta.
Yes.
He tried to pitch on your show.
Yeah,
it would really hit it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably a great patient. I mean, you're a great guest. Don't you agree, Madeline?
Oh, you're a great guest.
Oh, thank you. A funny part during it was like that he gets to the end and he goes, okay, it looks good. Now we just got to check it on the way back. They somehow turn the camera around.
They pull a U-turn?
And they pull a U-turn and then they pull the camera out so you see it. And they see it and then, like, so you're following it on the way back out. And then you like follow it as it comes like back out into the world.
Oh.
It's like your birth. It's like the view of if you were birthing something from your poopy butt.
Yes, exactly.
Like, did you feel different after seeing that?
It felt like a sensation I had never felt before.
I believe that.
And I liked it. And but it was like a thing where I don't know if like I feel like people. You don't experience like that many new sensations all the time.
Yeah.
And so when you do, it kind of sticks with you for like a while.
Yeah. It sounds honestly, it sounds like this changed you more than getting stabbed.
It did. I definitely think about this more than that.
That's so interesting. And did you, so he put the camera in and then basically gave you the go, like he told you nothing was wrong.
Yeah. He was able to tell as it was going. He was like, yeah, nothing's wrong. It turned around. Pulled it back out and goes, oh, yeah, you're fine.
So was the journey out very different because you were relieved that nothing was wrong?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So what was it? What were you? Did you just wipe too hard?
Because yeah.
That is the big thing, the wiping too hard.
Why,
that's a,
why did you? Yeah.
And they didn't know.
A follow-up question about that actually has nothing to do with wiping too hard. The blood, the redness, was it bright red? Or was it the darker kind of red?
That's a good question. I think it was bright red, which I think is good.
That's good, yeah. Dark red means you're internally bleeding. Right.
Yeah.
Bright red usually just means either like a hemorrhoid or you wiped too hard. Or in most cases, and this is the thing that just makes us feel stupid, you ate like dried cherries or cranberries or something that turns
beets.
Your... Yeah, beets.
Beets will make beets you will scared you're dying in a second.
Yeah. If you're somebody like me who never eats a beet except once in a while by accident, thinking it's something that tastes better than a beet does... Then you poop blood red and you yell at a doctor that you're allergic to beets and he doesn't understand his practice. And he didn't understand his practice. Madeline actually knows this doctor and he's not that good. I'm not going to say his name.
We can't say his name.
Yeah, because of reverse malpractice. But yeah, he was just like a very chill doctor, which is not what you're looking for in a doctor. Way too chill.
Too chill.
Yeah. And he was just like, yeah, you're going to be fine. It's like, I want to know.
Right.
What I can do to keep my butt from ever bleeding again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what'd you have?
They don't know. I think they thought it was like a hemorrhoid, like a little hemorrhoid. A little hemorrhoid.
And, a little hemi.
A little hemi.
A little hem.
And they don't know. Yeah, you don't know. He's like, sometimes this happens.
I guess it does.
And that was
You're
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to give you a little time frame, it was immediately after your wedding.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, then it was probably... Yeah. Probably was a hemorrhoid. Because I feel like
was.
Sometimes... Don't you sometimes get a hemorrhoid when you like party too much?
Yeah, maybe.
We did party hard.
Is that a thing? I feel like I heard. Is that a thing?
We definitely partied hard.
You had so much fun it blew a little hemorrhoid in your.
We ate food that definitely could be accused of ruining one's asshole.
That's
yeah.
Like
we
ate, what's the name of that fried chicken place that we ate at? Which
oh,
was
Time Out.
Time
Out.
I don't think I pooped that out for 2 weeks. I think it just stayed there.
One of the biggest points of pride about our wedding is how many people came home and described a 2 week recovery period.
Yeah. No, I remember on the plane everyone talking about how they needed a vegetable.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Right.
Oh, yes.
A delicious barbecue at Madeline's wedding, mm-hmm. which was in North Carolina, which to bring us back just to clarify on the story, because Madeline was aware of the parking lot where Joe had his stabbing
yeah.
incident. Both Madeline and Joe attended the University of North Carolina
yeah.
at Chapel
yeah.
Hill.
I wonder if my thing was even triggered as I was walking through the Panera Bread parking lot.
Yeah.
Back.
You did ask me to hold you tight.
That's true.
And I refused and instead stabbed you in the neck.
Did you revisit that Panera Bread parking lot when you were back in town?
No.
It was weird. You showed me your old dorm, but you didn't show me the place where you were stabbed in the neck.
I didn't tell you that story.
You may have told it to me, but it feels like you didn't because how do you forget the story of your friend being stabbed in the neck?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's possible, but I like to think I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
I remember every stabbing that my friends have endured.
That town has changed a lot, but that Panera is still there.
It's still there,
still
yeah.
Still going strong.
Yeah. The guy's still driving around in a truck.
Yeah. What was he doing?
Well, they caught him.
Yes.
What?
They
yes.
caught him immediately, actually, because my girlfriend described the truck and described him, and they caught him down the street. And he said that... He had pulled over to ask me for directions, and I had punched him. And that he then pulled out, he panicked, and he said he pulled out a machete out of the back of his truck, and that I fell into the machete.
What?
But
a stupid story.
It was crazy.
Really ridiculous.
And it was on like the evening news that night. Like they reported on it because
oh
it was
God.
Like an altercation. Or
did someone did like a Nightcrawler film you?
Yeah, a Nightcrawler film me as I was bleeding. A guy was just walking with like a camera in front of me trying to get a angle. But yeah, that's what he said happened. I mean, but if it had been a machete like that had fallen into, it would have been such a huge thing.
Yeah.
It was something he had like hidden in his hand.
The
right?
cop, yeah, the cop said they thought it was like a pocket knife. Or something. And also, my theory is that, like, he didn't mean to do it, that maybe he was going to mug me or something, or who knows what was going to happen, and that it kind of happened, but he got a little too overzealous. I don't
sure.
know. What do I know? I don't know why anything happened. But, and that he did it by accident, and that's why he ran off before, like, asking me for my wallet or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because he, like, would have he meant to, like, punch you and mug you, but then
yeah.
he saw that he was like, oh, I don't want to be anywhere near this guy who might die.
Yeah, he got in over his head or something.
Yeah. But, he was probably relieved. Honestly, that you weren't dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody wants a murder on their head, really.
No.
I don't think anybody really wants that.
No.
Yeah, probably not.
But kind of speaking of, like, eating shitty foods and drinking drinks, like, what is your health and wellness routine? Like, do you do anything to keep yourself healthy?
Yeah. No,
how do you
I like
this?
How you you I like,
how do you maintain
then
this?
You just looked me up and down.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking and just like I mean, I was kind of licking my lips a little bit.
No.
I was thinking, what does it take to get one of these?
It doesn't take a lot. I eat very badly. I try to since I've been in my 30s, I've tried to get a little bit healthier and like eat more salads and vegetables and stuff, but I mostly eat garbage, a lot of burgers and sandwiches and things like that. And I don't know. I don't exercise really.
None. You run sometimes, don't you?
No.
Not even.
I hike
something?
Sometimes.
Yeah, you
but
hike.
That's
what it is. Yeah.
But that's really it. I should do more.
Like what?
I don't really have any like super bad habits. I don't smoke or I don't know do anything else too badly. I don't drink soda, but or
yeah, you're,
not that often. I don't know.
Yeah. So you've always been thin.
Yeah. super thin.
I wouldn't say super, super thin. they're fat people.
Okay.
Let's not rub it in. I eat the same things as you do. It has the complete opposite effect on me.
I don't know. I don't know. I've always like tried to become like start running or do something like that, but I can never keep it up.
Yeah. I think it's hard when you don't have to for cosmetic purposes. Like I go to the gym because I would look even worse if I didn't. But yeah, like if one day I woke up and I didn't have to anymore, just the pounds were dropping off. I would stop going.
So if you had like a parasite, you'd be like, this is great.
That is a good idea.
Yeah,
have
you ever like had a? I've had like a fantasy about like if I just like got a quick parasite, and then I could just like maintain it by like you know living a normal lifestyle. Yeah,
I did think about this recent flu that people have had that they described as being the worst sickness of their adult lives.
Yeah,
I did think like I could probably deal with it for like a week if I lost like 15 or 20 pounds off of it. Like that, it's just like it would be a good jump start. Like esophageal dysphagia, I lost like a lot of weight doing it, and then I wasn't in good shape. But then like I started working out from there. It was a nice baseline to start from, as opposed to like the other end of the spectrum where like you're just like, oh no, I have to stop eating 4 cheeseburgers a day and get my life in order.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah, it's one or the other.
Yeah, like what my last year in Chapel Hill. I had like a little bit of the opposite experience where I like started working out, but still ate a bunch of cheeseburgers because I lived really close to a Wendy's. Yeah. And I just bulked up. Like I can't describe it as anything but bulked up because I wasn't like soft and fat. I was just like sort of thick and fat, and my shoulders got huge.
I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
That's so funny.
And it was like just like exactly, if anybody wants to know the wrong combination, it's like start doing like a little bit of lifting if you've never done it before and like just keep eating like 2 to 3 cheeseburgers a night and you'll get like real thick real fast.
Oh. It's true. Like, I mean, that's like like you eat cheeseburgers and stuff and you're like, I have to stop eating these cheeseburgers. Right. It's like all this bread and all this cheese and all this bad. But you also then forget that like those patties are just pure protein and that's like what we build our muscle off of. Like a great deal of the stuff that we eat that is garbage is actually just meant to bulk you up. And then we do bulk up.
Yeah.
And then we regret being bulky because it turns out that we don't actually have to survive the negative 20 degree winters of, you know, the Ukraine, you know? We're here in Los Angeles where, like, you, because I still do, coming from a cold weather place, I'm like, in the winter, I notice myself eating more potatoes, eating more, like, carbohydrates
and
that's stuff.
Normal.
Yeah.
Like, your body is like, I mean, I say this with great authority. I think someone sort of vaguely told me this one time and I really, like, adopted it. But, like, we are like supposed to go through seasonal cycles of like eating and sleeping, you know, like in the winter, like you're, you know, it's a survival thing that we're like sort of programmed to be like more sleepy in the winter and more lethargic because that's how we used to survive. So like a lot of that is just like sort of the echoes of at one point being like people who had to actually like change our lifestyles based on our changing world.
Yeah.
You would literally get more hairy in the winter to protect yourself from the cold.
Yeah. Wow.
Can you believe I shave come December now? What's become of me?
Have you made any like fear-based lifestyle changes? Like, you know, because I feel like Ben, like a lot, like, you know, we've been friends for a long time and I feel like you actually like have made a lot of lifestyle
changes
in the past couple of years. And most of them were sort of illness and fear based. Is that accurate?
100%.
Yeah.
What's like, what's an example?
Well, I quit smoking two years ago when I got the esophageal dysphagia. Yeah. Esophageal dysphagia, folks, is going to come up a lot on this podcast because it's almost all I think about
at
all times.
Esophageal dysphagia, I mean, in this respect, maybe saved your life.
It saved my life, yeah.
Wow.
I quit smoking. I stopped drinking soda. For a period of time, I stopped smoking weed, but I went back to it because I was able to, without a shadow of a doubt, determine it was not killing me. I like weed, folks. It's legal in this state. Get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like things like that. I mean, for a while, I really changed my diet because I felt like when I was having a lot of reactions when I would eat junk food. So I stopped and then kind of got my shit together and then started eating junk food again. But I'm conscientious, I would say. But but the point being, I mean, it got in my head and I made a lot of changes.
Have you had any?
Nothing's springing to mind. I feel like I haven't like had to quit anything, fortunately.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is the
Like, even when you, like, thought, like, even when you had blood in your stool, did you, like, did you have, like, an echo of, like, a week of, like, eating healthy or, like...
Yes, that was totally a thing where I was like, oh, if this is bad, like, whatever the worst case scenario of this is. And so I had, like, a week or a couple weeks between, like, the initial appointment. They're like, then you got to go in and get the procedure done. And then I was like, oh, okay, this could be bad. I have to, like... kind of get my shit together and start eating right and like eating vegetables and not still going to Wendy's or taco trucks and all this stuff. And so that I did try. But as soon as I got the all clear, I was back to my old habits immediately. And it was fine.
Yeah, it's sad how quickly we can revert like the, yeah. But I guess it's also, it's partly sad, but it's also sort of nice to hear that, in a fairly short period of time, we can get over most anxieties to some extent.
Yeah, it's like sort of reassuring how much like we bounce back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unless like, I guess like, you know, when you don't, that's like PTSD or that's, you know, like it's sort of a diagnosed like, you know, bad response. Yeah. But in general, like I feel like we always speak ill of like our tendency to like, you know, go back to what's comfortable. But like, in a way, it feels like a really like healthy kind of form of sort of emotional survival, don't you think?
Yeah,
agreed. Yeah. That's it's our personal evolution. Yeah, that like I mean,
the only thing I've tried to quit, I realize now, is like I tried to quit coffee later last year.
Why?
Because I was having a lot of trouble sleeping at night, like waking up at like 4 a.m. in the morning and not being able to go to sleep for like 90 minutes or something like that. And so I was really trying to, of course, everything except for exercise, which is the first thing you should try. I didn't want to do that. But I was like, oh, I'll like quit drinking coffee and see if that, because like, or caffeine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so I tried doing that for a while and that seemed to help. And then I've gone back on to caffeine again.
Yeah.
I've gone back into drinking coffee.
And are you having trouble sleeping again?
Yes.
You figured it out.
I don't know. It's hard to figure out if they're connected. But yeah, that is happening.
How much coffee do you drink a day?
I usually drink like 3 or 4 cups of coffee a day, which isn't a ton.
But how are you spacing it out?
4 at 11 p.m.
Yeah. Well, 1 at 11 and 3 at 2 a.m.
Just the tiniest bit of warm milk in an entire pot of coffee.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have like 2 in the morning and I'll have, I'd have 3 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Mm. And now I try to do 1 in the morning.
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah. And that's that. Like, if I drink coffee in the afternoon, then I can't fall asleep.
Yeah, it's bad.
Speaking of changes that one makes to his lifestyle after esophageal dysphagia, I stopped drinking caffeine in the afternoon and replaced it with meditation. And I would say that it worked huge. Yeah, like a specific meditation that comes in pill form that you take.
Medication.
Exactly. Yeah. I confuse the words. A specific meditation that's designed to invigorate you midday.
What is that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what my
question. I learned it from friend of I was going to say friend of the podcast, but we don't have friends of the podcast yet. We just have friends of me and friends of Madeline. Kate Purdy, who is an expert at Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient medical practices of India. And basically for 20 minutes, you would sit with your eyes closed in some comfortable position, and you would repeat in your head over and over again the two-word phrase, so hum, which...
So in your head.
In your head. Or you can do it out loud if you wanted to, if you were in a private space, but I would tend to do it with Kate and Stacey Dasho, our friend Alan McLeod's lovely wife. And so we would... we would just sit there for 20 minutes, say this affirmation in our head that is supposed to line up with the rhythm of your heart. And when you would wake up, you would – or not wake up, but when you would open your eyes 20 minutes later, you would feel refreshed and renewed. And things like that, I think they only work for so long, and then you kind of need a new one to take its place.
Right.
But it's other things like that. It's rather than some sort of a chemical stimulant, it was about like deriving it from some internal place. And I found that it like it really worked well.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It isn't,
Because when I would drink caffeine in the afternoon, it would work for a couple of hours and then I'd find I needed a nap. And this thing took the place of a nap. It was almost like a power nap, but it was one in which you were channeling some spiritual energy.
Yeah, instead of just like shutting yourself down and then having to like take all this energy to restart.
Exactly.
That's really interesting.
Do you like sit on the floor? Like, what do you? What do you?
You can sit wherever you want. I would sit. You were not supposed to sit in a position where you potentially could fall asleep. Other than that, whatever you're comfortable doing, I would just sit in like a recliner. And then fall asleep.
Meditate on the lazy boy.
Cool. Yeah, I think we've gotten a lot of great information from you, Joe.
Oh, okay.
And,
yeah, okay. Thank you so much. I really forgot that you got stabbed. Thank you for
it's
sharing
that. It's a thing
that
I think like
us.
a lot of people I know like forget about.
Yeah.
And then I have to tell the story.
Because there are some people you'd meet and you're like, yeah, I bet they got stabbed. Yeah. But you do not seem like someone who had a near-death experience.
No. I would go so far as to call you one of the least stabbable people I know.
Well, I'm a bit of a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a bit.
just
enough to fall on a machete.
Okay, all right.
To be clear, we believe that guy.
Okay.
So, yeah, thanks so much, Joe.
Oh, thanks
really
so much.
It.
This was very fun.
Hey, now we come to the point in our podcast where we are going to play a little trivia game with a listener who's called in. Welcome to the show, Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Sarah, we're going to play a game, a little trivia game based on the sort of alarmist health Googling that I've done online. I found out some interesting things this week. I found out that some diseases actually have smells. They have odors, which I didn't know before. Oh. Did you know that?
I didn't know that either, but I do love a good, Google hole, trying to figure out what's going on Google health-wise. It always gets you someplace good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now Google has taught me that if I smell a certain thing, like if my body smells a certain way, it might be a disease. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a disease, and I want you to just make your best guess at what that disease smells like.
Yep.
And then I want you to tell me why you guessed that way, because we're not only going to award points for correctness, but for good reasoning.
Yeah. In all likelihood, we'll only be awarding points for good reasoning.
Yeah.
That's all good scientists do. That's
right.
That's good.
That's right.
So our first, let's just jump into it. Our first disease is schizophrenia. What does schizophrenia smell like? What does a person with schizophrenia smell like?
Schizophrenia, Sarah. Name that smell.
Name that smell. I would guess that it smells like, oh my gosh, what kind of smells it? It's not toast. That's when you have a stroke.
Yeah, and you smell toast when you have a stroke.
You just smell it. You don't smell toast. Yes. I'm going to say it smells like sweet.
Oh my
God.
Wait, I gave away my hand too quickly.
A little more specific.
You're correct.
You're correct, but it's sweet.
And why? How did you come to that?
There's something about, I can imagine that it's a lot of things going on in your brain, and our brain receptors use a lot of sugar. So I can imagine if you're having some kind of removal from that, or you're starting to feel it, that maybe it would smell sweet because.
Interesting.
Sarah, how do you know so much about the brain?
Yeah.
Well, I do have a degree in biology, and actually, I recently had my DNA gene, 23andMe thing, and I've ran it through these other things, and apparently, my genes also have schizophrenia in them. So.
Oh, wow.
My family talks a lot about it, but I didn't actually know specifically the smell of schizophrenia.
I would go so far as to say this is the luckiest time anyone has ever found schizophrenia in their family line.
Yeah, because I don't even know. Oh. I mean, I do like winning, so this is really a positive for my family and our genes.
So for some bonus points, you got sweet correct.
Yes.
Now, if you were going to be a specific sweet smell, what would you guess? You've already received points. This is just for more points.
Okay. More points.
Now, not overly specific, but categorically, what kind of sweet?
Okay, what do you mean? Like, I have to name a food or something?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay, I would guess it smells like pastries.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
Well, no. That's a true bonus point because you've truly already done better than I thought anybody could do at this. Schizophrenia does smell sweet, according to one article, like overripened fruit. So you get 10 points for your amazingly correct answer. And the reason for it is actually schizophrenia is associated with a different metabolism. And that metabolism makes you sort of secrete something in your sweat called trans-3-methyl-2-hexanoic acid. And that makes your sweat smell sweet. But
so I'm like alcoholic almost.
I'm still going to give you 10 points for your reason because it sounds honestly better and smarter than the one that I have.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I love trivia. I love bonus points.
So
well
you,
done,
you got 20 points. Yeah.
All right. Number awesome. Two.
Okay. So number two is typhoid fever. What does typhoid fever make you smell like?
I would guess it makes you smell vinegary.
Ooh, why?
I feel like it's one of those things where any kind of... Because typhoid fever is a virus, right?
You would know better than me, probably.
I was like, I feel like the way that it would break down your cells would make you smell almost like vinegary or like acidic.
Okay.
Oh. See, your answers sound more right than mine.
Let's give her 5 points for sounding convincing.
Oh, I would definitely 5 points for sounding convincing. The correct answer is like baking bread.
Yeah.
Oh, yeasty. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeasty, that's probably it. That's probably yeasty. Yeah, I couldn't. You know, it was another like immune system. It was like just because of like a chemical reaction in your immune system, like when it's trying to fight the typhoid fever. But that yeasty does. Makes sense. You get 5 more points just for understanding better why typhoid fever would make you smell like a loaf of bread.
That totally makes sense, though, because how many people with autoimmune disease tend to, like, have problems with yeast? They're like candida or that kind of thing.
You are so much smarter than both of us and than whoever wrote this article that I learned all this stuff from.
And Alexis, too.
Wow. Yeah.
And our lovely producer, Alexis.
Just throwing out.
Yay, Alexis.
Also our guest, Joe Saunders, who's a victim of a neck stabbing.
The victim of what?
A neck stabbing.
We just did an interview where we learned that our guest Joe is totally fine now, but in college he was stabbed in the neck.
Yeah, and I'm throwing everyone under the bus.
Okay.
Oh Lord.
Number three,
diabetes. Yeah.
What does it smell like?
Oh, this is so funny to ask because I can't. All I can think of is acrid.
Okay.
Like it smells like insulin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're going to get points for that.
I mean, you get 10 points for that. And can you explain why?
I think.
Honestly, it's just that my mom was diabetic. And so the whole time growing up, I remember like whenever she had a reaction, I would always know it was going to happen because I could smell it. And nobody believed me.
That's so interesting.
That might be 12
points.
Yeah,
and the same.
Give her 12
points. Yeah, the same thing happened with my best friend in college, and nobody had seen him in all day. And I was like, has anyone checked on Ben? And no one else knew he was diabetic.
Wow.
And I walked in the room, and I was like, he needs orange juice.
That's amazing. Because I remember thinking. So, go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, that was it. I was just like, our factories are kind of amazing. Like, I find it fascinating. So I swear, I've been telling my family for years. I'm like, no, I can smell it.
Yeah, and that's true. And, you know, there are, like, specialists who specifically research, you know, diagnosing illness by scent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's like a real, I think, like area of research that's becoming, you know, more and more prominent.
Yeah.
So that's
definitely
fascinating.
Now for an additional,
you guys
84...
have really affected my weekend plans, by the way, because I'm going to definitely have to Google all this. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you
that's
off,
okay.
Ben. Go ahead.
For an additional 84 points.
Yeah.
If you were to guess which fruit diabetes smells like the rotten version of, which would it be?
Banana.
Ooh.
I mean, according to this article, it's rotten apples.
Yeah.
But
Oh, I can kind of see that, yeah. I guess. I actually don't think it smells like rotten banana. I just give another one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you didn't get that one right, so you're only going to get 86 additional points.
Do you know the reason, though?
Okay, I mean, that's all right.
So the reason, you know, for that acrid smell is because there are low levels of acetone in your breath. And so that it's like super legit that you were able to spot that by scent. How crazy to know what that is after all these years.
Guys, I think I just figured out my new side job.
Yeah.
A scent
doctor. Totally going to be a diagnoser. Exactly.
Oh, I thought you assumed, I thought you meant a podcast trivia guest.
Yeah. Well, that too, because I'm quite enjoying it.
You are.
I'm feeling
you're
a good
great.
Bit of trivia.
Oh, Sarah, well, then, just as a bonus question, do you think you could spot any other illnesses by scent? Like, if you were just to, like, if you were to start moonlighting as a scent doctor, like, what do you think?
Yeah.
Like, could you, like, if I smelled like coffee, what would you think? Like, do you think there would be, like, what would be wrong with me?
Coffee. If you smelled like coffee, I would guess that you probably
drank coffee.
I literally have what? Yeah, you drink a lot of coffee. You have too much caffeine in you.
I mean, that's true. No. That's you accurately diagnosed that.
Yeah.
I would guess it was probably something that was not UC, only because again, like you get those smells from the. I would guess it's something that has to do with the breakdown of like how your cells are breaking down. Totally wrong. But it sounded convincing. No,
that sounded very convincing.
84
well,
points.
Sarah, I mean, you have, from my very careful math, about 200 points.
Yeah.
We are going to, off the air, we're going to get your address and send you a prize. And the prize that everybody gets for winning a game on our podcast is... a travel Advil, which I always carry in my purse. I'm going to give you one of my own personal travel Advils. Don't leave home without it. You never know when you're going to need a little Advil, and it feels so good to be able to offer it to somebody. Mm-hmm.
It's true. Does that mean it's like the cute little ones that you can throw in your purse?
Yeah, like the little tube.
Yes. Yeah.
This one's literally going to come from Madeline's purse.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's even better. Like the one I always secretly want to buy at the airport, but I'm just like, just suck it up. You're fine.
Yes, now you can have it. And you can refill it. It's refillable. It's just so great.
And to be clear, if you had gotten even 1 point less, you would have lost and you would not have this Advil. But luckily, you got that point right. And you're the winner of this game. Smell that disease.
Sarah, thank you so much. You were such a wonderful guest. It was so great.
Yay, thanks for playing trivia with me.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.